Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LDG. As match week 13 in the National Women's Soccer League wrapped up this weekend, we already talked about the three worst teams in the league, or lowest ranked, along with Gotham FC, which you all should listen to those two episodes. We're now going to talk about the top three teams, the Washington Spirit, the Orlando Pride, and Kansas City Current. I said it in reverse order, but whatever. And we're going to talk about why these teams are so successful, why they're title contenders, essentially, and yeah, just everything about them has been going so well so far. So we know that the league this year was going to change a lot due to the fact that there was two expansion ties coming in. Obviously, both of them were expected to make their splash in this league, but neither one really has, as they're both now sitting in the bottom of the table. So as the gap in talent is clearly growing and the lack of parity in the league is becoming more evident, it was inevitable that a few teams were going to rise to the top. Going into the season, obviously, Gotham FC was a big team we talked about in the preseason with after being the reigning champs and then going out and signing four of the best free agents available. It was inevitable that they were going to have a lot of that talk centered around them. But as we talked about in the last episode, they were not the only team that made those moves. And these three teams today all made significant moves to bolster their title chances. So let's start with the Washington Spirit, as they are the team that is the lowest ranked of the three we talk about today. Washington Spirit went into the season with a new identity, not just in their branding as this club, but also on the pitch. They went this year trading away two of their franchise players in Ashley Sanchez and Sam Staub, and they brought in two rookies for the draft, Corey Bethune and Hal Hirschfeld, who we'll be getting to in this segment. But overall, the Spirit took a big risk bringing this new youth group, leaning on the youth movement of the league and trading away two talented prospects that have produced at the NWSL level. We know that Ashley Sanchez had struggled with the Spirit system, which is why it made sense for her to get traded, considering that she's a much more talented player than what they were getting out of her there. But it was very surprising to see Sam Staub go, because Staub is not a player that is replaceable, and she hasn't really been replaced, in my opinion. She's a player who's not just dynamic as a defender, like in the traditional defensive football format, but considering how the Spirit play with such a possessive style, and with Geraldes coming over here from Barcelona, you would have thought that they would have prioritized that more, and that's why Sanchez and Staub would have been so good for the team on paper, but I guess that wasn't what they were looking for in the moment. So, talking about the team in general, I wanted to start first with Ule Sarr. Sarr is one of the top players in the Golden Boot race right now, not just because of how explosive and good she is in front of goal, but because of how she creates for her teammates. When you have players like Corey Bethune feeding you all day long, you have to make those good runs, and Ule Sarr has that ability. She's not a traditional psyker. She's a nine, so she knows how to make runs. She's quite good defensively. She loves tracking back, which is the thing we love to see. I mean, 91 percentile versus forwards for tackling, 88% of her blocks. She can win the ball back. She's quite similar, in a lot, in my opinion, to a player like Alessia Russo, and that this might be a little bit of a drastic comparison, but she is someone who will drop back in the pocket space to receive, but could also just blow by defenders when receiving the service. We see how Russo gets in behind the back line and punishes you, and Sarr has done the exact same thing this year for the Spirit. When you look at how Sarr's abilities have transformed over the last year, you have to realize how when she came into this team, there was so much talent on that front line that she's competing against, and she still is to this day. She was competing against players like Trinity Rodman, Ashley Hatch, and so much more. And co, as you may say. But at the end of the day, she has really excelled in a lot of different areas, and we'll talk about those in a minute. Also, her creativity is as a nine is what's been so beneficial for them. 98% off her through balls, corner kicks, and passes that were offsides. No, she doesn't ever make the wrong play. She has such a good soccer IQ. She makes sure that the runners she plays are onside. And that's important, because when you have players like Trinity Rodman, when you have players like Ashley Hatch, who love getting at defenders 1v1, having a center forward that could glide back into that space and receive in the pocket area and distribute is so important. And that's why Sarr has been so fun to watch for the Spirit side of the season. Moving on to a player that we just talked about a little bit, and Trinity Rodman, I think the season has really been a breakout year for her. When you look at previous years of Rodman's career, we've known how explosive she can be, but we haven't really seen it as well at the club level. She's shown at the international level her fluidity with Mal and Sophia Smith on that front line, but now we're finally getting to see a little bit more of that at club level. her stats are just amazing. If you look at her comparison to wingers, her defensive ability to track back is unparalleled. Every defensive category is green, 99 percentile on passes blocked, and just so good in every single area defensively, which is may seem like, okay, it doesn't really matter. She's a forward, Liam. Her defensive abilities don't matter, but they do. And the thing is when you have a forward who can be so creative offensively, but also knows how to help her teammates out on the defensive end is so, so important. We also just not even focusing on that, her offensive areas. Obviously, she's amazing in 1v1 areas, we know that, 96 percentile and progressive carries and successful take-ons. But I think what's really transformed Rodman's game is her selflessness this year. We obviously have seen in the past where the Spirit offense has been spearheaded by Trittany, but this is the first year where they've really had a free-flowing team that has been able to find the back of the net at a more consistent basis. Scoring 27 goals in 13 games is largely not just due to the fact of Trittany, but due to the midfield of players that are building connections in order to allow Trittany and her teammates on the front line to get in behind. Like Croy Bethune and Hal Hirschfeld, who I'll get to in a minute. But at the end of the day, Trittany Rodman, a finisher in front of net. We've always known that she has that ability to get the ball in the back of the net, and now we're finally seeing her finish those balls in the back of the net, which is what she needs to do as a winger. She can cut inside with both feet, shoot, but she also could beat that defender and be that selfless player. And that more dimensional game with different aspects has been what's made Trittany so fun to watch this year. Moving on to Hal Hirschfeld, the 21-year-old has already excelled in the National Women's Soccer League. It's been impossible for them to take her off the pitch all year long, and playing on that double pivot with role with Andy Sullivan is no easy task, considering Sullivan has so many different awards and experiences with the U.S. Women's National League abroad. Hirschfeld's abilities were expected to be played at a more defensive role on the back line where she played at Clemson in college, but her ability on that transition play with the pass has been what's made her so important for the team, and it's almost just like eliminated her, that possibility from her playing the back line. She's a 93rd percentile for long pass completion rate percentage out of all midfielders. She has just such a good ability at getting the ball up the pitch, and she's really just amazing at creating for her teammates. She finds herself in the pocket space. She creates something where she can break pressure and lines of pressure so, so easily. I talked about this in the episode when she got called up to the U.S. team, is she loves dropping back into that space. And I use this a lot of time for players. I know it seems like, but it really matters. And she can find an Aubrey Kingsbury again. And the Spirit team loves to play with their feet. And her being able to be such a big part of that is so instrumental. Her possession is immaculate. She never loses the ball. Passing is quite sublime as well. And her just incredibly diverse style of play is what makes her so fun to watch. She has so many different attributes that have just made the Spirit team come alive. And though the three players that we're focusing on today, two of whom you've heard about, and obviously the inevitable one we have to talk about, Croy Bethune, are all offensive-minded players, the defensive work in the midfield that Hirschfeld brings has been arguably just as big of a contributor to the Spirit. So lastly, moving on to Croy Bethune, obviously she's a player who will take all the flowers she deserves. Girl is eating it up in the NWSL, obviously coming in from college. It is a big transition considering Bethune had a lot of ACL injuries there. The nerves of whether her game would transform to the pro level and whether she could just stay healthy were rightfully so. I think more the latter than the former, because she's already shown very quickly how good of a player she is, and I think she should be on the plane for the Olympic roster. I know in my last episode for the U.S. team, I said she should be an alternate player. Forget that. She's way better than many of the midfielders we have. A creative player. She's bringing out the fun that we were missing at the World Cup last summer, and I love to see how she just walks in here and owns the field, and I say that in the best way. She's just like such a cool person off the field in general. I love seeing all the game day fits that she has. Not that that should outshine what she does on the pitch, but like she is so, so freaking cool. I love watching Bethune just ball out in the pros and just really be that girl who is loving the spotlight and just deservingly so eating it up there, which is amazing to see. Her assists, 95th percentile for attacking midfielders and wingers. Obviously, that's very impressive, but that's merited considering she has 8 assists in just 13 games, which is insane, along with getting 5 goals. That means she's getting a goal contribution every single game. Take notes, Emma Hayes, because she should not just be a training player on this U.S. team when we can't even get any goals from ourselves from the midfield. Sorry for the rage. Now back to Bethune, because she's amazing. Obviously, that little area on the pitch that was going to need to be replaced by Sanchez has really just been honestly done so effortlessly. Sanchez is obviously isn't an old player. She still is growing at such a young age, only 25 still, but she didn't really click for the Spirit, and at some point a player will want to get to be in an environment where she can thrive, and if that was an environment Sanchez could thrive in, then bringing in Buffon was the smart answer. And honestly, just like all-around amazing player, amazing with both feet, her control on the ball is amazing, her dribbling is amazing. I mean, like, I could just say, like, to simplify this and not make this way too long, the segment, she's just amazing. She's like the perfect player, and I can't wait to see her continue growing, and I can't wait to see the Spirit hopefully continue move up the table. And just even though she's such a young age and she's such a young player, her maturity is inevitable. The three assists against Chicago game is one that stands out, but even her game against the Gotham FC was amazing. The goal she scored obviously stole the show, but everything she does, I'm so impressed with Bethune. She's going to keep it up for us this season, and I can't wait to see the Spirit show this league why they belong to be in the conversation for title contenders. Next team on the list is only being talked about now instead of later because of goal differential. They've been on the same level as the current, arguably even better. I'll explain why in so many different aspects, but at the end of the day, this Pride team has really been transformed by one player, and that one player is the player we're going to focus on today, and that's obviously Barbara Banda. Banda is someone who can't just score in front of net, but she can also just dominate. I guess that's like the simplest way of saying it. I thought about this before the episode, is how am I going to frame her performances and describe it to a viewer, because it's hard to talk about a player on the pitch without being able to show the film of their runs and their passes, because what Banda does is so much more than what you see on the stat sheet, and I think that's so important. We know, like, she's a baller, she's a goal scorer, we know that going in, we saw that with Zambia, we've seen that at the international stage, but now it's great to get to see her play with players in more intricate ways. On the Zambian team, she was arguably the star, right? She had to carry the load, but having midfielders that are creative has really been a big key for her. And I'll just shout out one of my previous episodes where I talked about like underrated players in the league, and I mentioned Angelina, Cariabello, and Summer 8. So I'm not going to talk about them in this episode because I already talked about them. But if you want to hear more about other players that I'm not going to focus on today's episode, listen to that episode about the underrated players, because I have Bethune in there as well and a few more who I'll just leave out of the conversation so there can be a few surprises. So going back to this episode, when you look at her stat sheet, I'm not going to try and act like I'm like a stats reader, because that's not my job. I'm here to analyze these player performances. But just, like, looking at it from my perspective, the stats that she has a 98th percentile in or above, these are just a few. Shots total, assists, expected goals, expected non-penalty goals, shot-creating actions, progressive carries, successful take-ons, touches in the attacking penalty area, and progressive passes recorded per 90 minutes. All these stats are versus the forwards in the whole entire world, and she's in the 98th or 99th percentile in them, which is insane. The fact that she's so good, not just like on the ball, right, not just finishing in front of net. A lot of forwards in the world can finish in front of goal. That's kind of merited. That's your job as a forward. You have to score goals, or that's, you're not doing your job. But what Banda does is so much more than just score goals for this team. And I'm going to be honest, still in the Pride team, they're good. They're fine without Banda. They have a lot of good pieces. But what's going to make them a title contender, and what has made them a title contender already for the first half of the season, is Banda. If you look at the rest of their roster, you know, they have some good players. Marta has 2 goals. Yates has 3 goals. Doyle has 2 goals. There's talents there. But if you look at the team, I'm going to be honest, it's really Barbara Banda and co. She is carrying this side. And that's not to say that there aren't other good players in this team, but Barbara Banda is the main great player on this side, and it's not even close. And when you watch the team on the pitch, it's inevitable that she's going to get the goal, or she's going to be involved in it in some way. And the fact that she only played in a few matches, she missed a bunch at the beginning of the year due to the visa issues, is what makes it even more crazy, because you know she's going to get more opportunity. She has 8 goals and 3 assists in just 9 games played. And she didn't even play the full 90 minutes in them. That's better than Bethune, and that's not to diss Bethune at all. They're both amazing. We shouldn't compare two amazing athletes in completely different positions. But anyway, Banda's finishing front of net, it's not just down to, sure, she can score in front of goal. She scores from positions that she wouldn't be expected to score in. She has 8 goals this year, out of a 5 XG, which means she scores 3 more goals than she's expected to, which I guess that number is kind of stupid in a lot of ways, and it may not mean a lot to a lot of people. But essentially it means is it's rating the how hard of a shot it is or how hard of a thing that she's getting. Like, every shot that she, even the ones that she misses, there's an XG based on it, based on analytical data. And that shows you, even though she misses all those other shots probably naturally, as any forward does, she's still is so efficient in front of net, and that's what I love in a player, because at the end of the day, if you're facing a defense like Gotham, who are the best in the league by a mile right now defensively, you might only get one chance to beat the team, but you can count on a player like Banda to do so, which is why she's so fun to watch. The team, I mean, I said this all the time when I talk about Orlando, it's a fine team. You look at the roster, it's good. They have a lot of great players. Raffaele is one that stands out to me on the back line. I talked a lot about in my last episode, I'm not going to talk about them here, but I talked about Carrie Abello, Summer Yates, and Angelina. Emily Madrill is definitely someone who deserves a shout out. She's been killing it this year. So there's a lot of good players in this team. But the player that's arguably, like, the best besides, you know, you look at the players with international experience, like Catral and Marta, who are players that have are experienced internationally. I don't even add Larroquette into that. But they're not producing at the level that Banda is, and that's not to diss them at all, because really no one produces at the level that Banda does. The fact that she's even in the goal-scoring race to begin with is hilarious, considering that she missed a few games of the season at the beginning, and she still is beating all these players. When you look at her games, though, again, it's not just what she does for herself, right? There's a lot of people who, I guess, can score in the back of the net. But the run she makes, what she does for her team, is so fun to watch. And even though all this doesn't get recorded, it's not a stat, to my knowledge. But the run she makes where she peels up open space. And when you have, again, I talked about the same thing about Ole Sarr. When you have a player in the midfield, they have Washington has Bethune. Orlando is Marta. Orlando has a lot of talented midfielders in there. It's not just Marta. It's Gautreaux. It's Angelina. Players on the front line like Doyle, Adriana, and Ali Watt need to be taking notes from Banda and not just creating the runs for themselves, but because they have a player like Banda, they need to capitalize on those runs. And if Orlando wants to make it deep in the postseason, which I do believe they can do, they don't want to be a one-trick pony. They need more offensive options in front of net. I know this sounds a little bit critical, but when you look at the other teams we're talking about today, Kansas City has multiple goal scorers. They have 15 that people have scored on their roster this year, and that speaks to the fact that they have depth on that front line, and not on the front line. They have their depth on their bench waiting to come in. They have depth in their midfield that can provide on the score sheet themselves. And what I think this Orlando team needs to do to continue beating Kansas City, their defense is great, one of the best in the league, but right up there of Gotham and San Diego. But what they can continue to do to elevate their offense to the next level is to get that supporting cast besides Banda, because at the end of the day, she's doing great, but they still only have 21 goals in 13 games. And to do really well in the NWSL, you're going to need to get some more than that. So overall, Banda, amazing job, amazing signing from Haley Carter and the Orlando side there. But at the end of the day, supporting cast has got to be stronger if you have to beat the very strong and multifaceted offense that Kansas City has to offer. Speaking of that offense, let's just jump right in, I guess. Obviously, Kansas City came into this year with a lot of new improvements, right? They really did put a big effort into their credit. That front line that was not great last season. I mean, everything about that team was not great last year. But they did a good job reframing their side and really making sure that the team could be in the best position for this season. So, obviously, my last episode, the underrated episode, which you guys should all listen to, by the way, I talked about Claire Hutton and another player who I won't spoil, but I won't be talking about her in this episode, so you might be able to figure it out. So you should listen to that episode. It's episode 65, I believe, if I'm wrong. Sorry. It's just titled The 6 Most Underrated Players in NWSL. So listen to that one. So I won't be talking about Hutton today, but I did want to give her flowers because she's been amazing. Okay, back to the front line. Obviously, the duo has to be mentioned of Temba Chivinga and Beatrice Zanerato. So I'll start with Chivinga. The Malian forward has not just done well in the NWSL, she's put her stamp on the league. And I think what has been so impressive of her is she's not just a player who can run at your back line, yet, which, yes, she's very good at, but she's just a very well-rounded player. Obviously, you know, she's very good at getting in the back line. I could talk about her progressive carrying stats, which you all can see that are amazing just based on her play, period. But also her ability to do the work on the nitty-gritty defensive end, her ability to finish in front of net, her ability to get shots up, but also be good at finding the ball in the back of the net, that balance of being able to get a lot of shots on goal but also be very precise at finishing them is such a hard nail to balance due to the fact that you're obviously trying to get a bunch of shots on net, test the goalkeeper, but you don't want to rush those shots. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're just giving the ball away aimlessly and you're not being methodical. And I think the thing about Dominguez is in her first few games, there hadn't been a lot of partnerships made. So she would just like run up the sideline and beat defenders. And it's like, great, that's amazing. But at the end of the day, soccer is a team sport. I think what she's really done a great job with is she's working with her teammates better. She's finding those runs and her teammates are supplying them. It's not just like we give the ball into her in our half and just let her sprint up the field. It's much more beautiful soccer. And I know that's obviously not what matters in the long run, because it is more important to just get goals. That's the most important thing in games, no matter whether or not it's super pretty, quote unquote. But what Shvinga does is she's a very good finisher in front of net, and she's very good at just being in the right place at the right time. Whenever she's running at goal, you know defenders have no chance of guarding her. She's just going to beat you up and finish the ball in the back of the net. Moving on to another player who I would say I would have a very similar reaction to as a defender is Beatrice. She's 9 goal contributions in 9 matches, 5 of those being finished by herself, or 4 she set up her teammates. And if you look at her stat line, she is so incredible in every single area of the pitch. The stats that she's 99th percentile in are her total shots, assists, expected goals from assists, shot creating actions, passes attempted, progressive passes, tackles, and so much more. I just wanted to name a few to give you the gist of how good she is. But she's, yes, a very big target forward who can finish in front of net. We know that. Beatrice has been doing that forever. But what's been so fun this year is she's so good in the hold-up play, in the pocket space, which she hasn't really done a lot before for Brazil a lot of the time. You know, she gets these amazing lob passes in from the midfield like Marta. But now she's finding more of a, I guess, team-building style of oriented style of play, my bad. And I think it's so funny because there's so many different personalities in that front line. You have Michelle Cooper, who is like a creator, a midfielder at heart. You have Bia, who's this big forward who can like hold up, play up. And then you have Chuminga, who's an incredibly fast player. Yet all three of them all can score. But it's so fun getting to see these partnerships finally being built. At the beginning of the year for the current, I felt like it was a lot of like, oh yeah, we could score a lot of goals, but it wasn't as much of a, oh yeah, we can really defend and we can really be cohesive. And the defensive part obviously has still not worked. We'll talk about that for a brief little bit, but overall they're just so fun to watch offensively. 33 goals in 13 games is very good. Not something to debate at all. Obviously 19 goals get let in. It's not horrible. It's not great. I mean, giving up 1.5 goals is pretty bad, but when you have the offense that the Kurd has, you know that you're still going to win games because they're just going to back you up. Moving on to another midfielder on the team besides Claire Hutton, who we talked about last week, it's Vanessa DiBernardo. DiBernardo obviously is very, very good on the defensive end of things. She's a box-to-box 8 midfielder. I don't like when people say she's a defensive midfielder. I don't like when people say she's an attacking midfielder, because she can do it all. She's a very good defensive player who is able to like play out of the pocket space. But I think what's so funny is no Desiree Scott this year in that starting role, no Alex Lira. Claire Hutton comes in, a young player, and you expected DiBernardo to play more of a deeper role and allow players like Dabinia to be more free flowing up the field. But it's funny getting to see her play that box to box 8 role, which is where I think she thrives the most, because in that 6 role, obviously she's very good at it. She can still play it very well, as any top player in the midfield can do. But when you have a player that's so creative in front of net and a good finisher, you don't want that player to go to the back of the pitch. 9 goal contributions as well, just like Bia Zanerato. But what makes her so fun to watch ultimately is how she just sets up her teammates and gives them passes on a platter. And I think the thing is we talk about in the vice versa situation when you say players like Saar and Banda have midfielders to supply them like Bethune and like Marta. But from a midfield perspective, when you have players like Chivinga, Zanerato, and Cooper, you know if you play that ball in the open space, they're winning it, no doubt. And so really, it's just get the ball up the pitch is your real simple goal, because at the end of the day, you still can play methodically and beat players through beating the lines. But you can just play it over the top for this current team and you'll still score. So I think what's been so fun is seeing players like DiBernardo and DiBernardo really getting to work together. And that's what I think this current team is going to really need as the season goes on, is better defensive stability and overall more cohesiveness on the offensive front and just building those connections in the field, which obviously this only the beginning of the year still. I talk about this a lot of the time. It's like two half of seasons in a lot of ways with the huge Olympic break from regular season football. So a lot of time for connections to be made over the break, whether it's players that are deeper in this team, getting more starts, but overall just getting into that end of the year with optimal momentum will be essential for the current this year. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. If you enjoyed, please give us a 5-star review of any women's soccer related question that Liam may answer in a future episode. I don't like talking about myself in the second tense, but I just did that. So yeah, follow me, please. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll be doing a lot more NWSL content, international stuff. Yeah, everything, honestly, women's soccer related. So check out all of our latest episodes that we've posted since the, I guess, second iteration of the podcast in regards to, like, recording constantly has come out. And also check out our old episodes. Check out any of our episodes. A lot of our episodes are kind of don't die, if that makes sense. They still matter in today's world. So check those out and just support women's sports, because women's sports are the epitome of what our world needs to be. More acceptance, a place for everyone to thrive, and just overall fun, a fun product of the field with amazing role models to look up to. So that's all from me today. Thanks for listening to this episode, and this is your host signing off, LDG. Peace out and see you next week. Bye!